Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Two Gardena High School students are recovering today from bullet wounds after a gun went off in their classroom yesterday. One of the teens was shot in the head. She went through surgery at Harbor UCLA Medical Center. Last night, the LAPD said the 17-year-old student who brought the weapon to school in his backpack will be charged with assault with a deadly weapon. LA Bureau Chief Chrissy Clark has more.
Parents came by bus, by car, by bicycle to pick up their children from school after the shooting in a morning health education class. As helicopters hovered above, they anxiously waited on street corners in front of police blockades. It took hours for their sons and daughters to be released from the classrooms. Every waiting parent had the same simple wish.
Hug my son and kiss him.
And just grab and kiss her. That's all I could do.
Just tell her I love her and... too much.
Shadell James rushed from the clinic where she's a nurse to pick up her ninth grade daughter. Her sister had seen a news report about the shooting and called her. While James waited for her daughter, she flashed back to when she was a student at the same high school in 2002. That year, there was another shooting on campus. James wondered what lessons had been learned since then about school security.
For one, metal detectors. Because I have too many entrances into the school. It's too easy for somebody to get it. You know, anybody.
Currently, there are no walk-through metal detectors at Gardena High. The school is subject to a district-wide policy that has L.A. school police do daily random searches of students using handheld wand metal detectors. But the district's incoming superintendent, John Dacey, said school safety measures clearly need a review.
I'm leaving to go back to the office to do exactly that and to examine the policy, to do a conference call with our local district superintendents and our principals.
That's a tough challenge. LA Unified has the largest school police department in the country with more than 300 officers and detectives, but they're spread across more than 1,000 campuses. Stacey says he's already brainstorming how to improve the weapons check policy.
Do we increase the randomness of this? Do we target on a random basis a whole school? We will take all the measures that are within our ability to assure safety at every school in Los Angeles Unified, including Gardena.
L.A. Police Lieutenant John Pascarello said security will be beefed up in the coming days at Gardena.
There'll be a strong police presence from the L.A. Unified School Police. It's a relatively safe campus, as campuses go.
But many parents and students say the shooting has them rattled. When Shadell James finally saw her daughter walking, a little dazed, out of the school entrance, she couldn't put her arms around her child fast enough. It's still unclear exactly how the gun went off in the classroom and whether the 17-year-old student who brought it in his backpack meant to shoot it or if it was an accident. Either way, James' ninth grader, Octavia, says it's changed the way she sees her school.
At the school, it's always something with gangs. If you want to fight or something, it's gang-related, you know. But I was like, wow, students getting shot and stuff? Okay, I know we do, like, at Gardena High, we do have big fights and stuff, but I didn't know it would be something like this. Like, this is my first time being in something like this, you know.
Hopefully it's your last.
Yeah, me too.
School officials are now faced with just how to prevent another incident like this and make this mom and daughter feel safe to go back to school. For the California Report, I'm Chrissy Clark in Gardena.
The state auditor yesterday revealed her investigators found hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars misspent last year. There was an incompetent prison psychiatrist who lingered in his post at full salary while the state took 3 years to evaluate him, a prison employee who enjoyed regular paid two-hour breaks, a state employee who took documents home to avoid working on them. Governor Brown's office is reviewing the audit, looking for ways to trim the state's $25 billion budget deficit. Across the state, cities and counties are scrambling to fast-track redevelopment projects before the governor and state lawmakers take that money away. Rachel Dornhelm reports.
Fremont City Council members called a special meeting this week to approve $120 million in redevelopment projects, including a long-awaited BART transit station.
They have been in the agency's work plan. They were in the agency's budget. We just moved them up, trying to beat the clock.
That's Elisa Tierney, Fremont's redevelopment director. And when she says clock, she's talking about what could happen if the legislature agrees with the governor to shut down redevelopment programs. Other cities in California also voted this week to start allocating redevelopment money, including the Sacramento suburb of Citrus Heights and the county of Los Angeles, which set aside almost $1 billion. John Shirey, head of the California Redevelopment Association, says cities need the money for large planned projects. He says they're concerned about Governor Jerry Brown's proposal to do away with the program, which would redistribute redevelopment money for other public services.
He has proposed that they be abolished. That's not a sacrifice, as he has asked everyone to do. That's annihilation.
Shirey says redevelopment funds support 300,000 jobs in the state. But while some local government officials are working to protect the funds, others want to see the money freed up for schools and public safety, like California professional firefighter spokesman Carol Wills.
What these government agencies are doing is basically saying, we like the status quo better. We like giving this money to developers for pet projects better than we like keeping fire stations open and cops on the street.
The state legislative analyst has called for urgent legislative action to protect the redevelopment money while the budget is under review. For the California Report, I'm Rachel Dornhelm.
The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to review California's proposal to cut Medicaid payments to health care providers. Sarah Varney reports.
In his quest to close the state's massive budget gap, former Governor Schwarzenegger had proposed trimming Medicaid reimbursement rates by 10%. Hospitals, pharmacies, and clinics filed a lawsuit to prevent the cuts from going into effect. They argue that California is already one of the stingiest payers in the country, and additional cuts would violate federal Medicaid rules. A federal appeals court rejected the state's proposal, and then yesterday, the high court agreed to hear an appeal from state officials. The Supreme Court's decision to hear the case signals good news for Governor Jerry Brown, who has proposed the same 10% rate reduction as his predecessor. When the court takes a case, it means at least four of the justices question the lower court's ruling. The high court is expected to hear the case later this year. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Varney.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, January 19th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the SunPower Corporation, offering high-efficiency solar energy solutions to households and businesses in California and worldwide. The SunPower Corporation, online at sunpowersolar.com. The Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Follis Family Fund for coverage of climate change. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of content security appliances and hosted security services, protecting more than 100,000 organizations worldwide. Reclaim your network, barracuda.com.